Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin driving another vehicle this week, but obviously loaded with disinfectant.
Not really. I mean, it is loaded with a lot of things because it's kind of fun to drive. I mean, it's the Kia Forte Coupe, one of the racing vehicles from Kia that were, by the way, winners in their own individual classes. And the new redesigned 2014 Forte Coupe has a turbocharged motor with a 201 horsepower engine. For a two-door coupe, that's a pretty powerful engine too, and it doesn't have that little turbo lag that sometimes you get when you press on the gas. It does not have that nearly like a lot of turbos do. Plus, you don't have to use premium fuel in it as well. Maybe that's why the lack of turbo lag and the great handling is why it's, you know, been winner in the Kia racing classes that they're in time and time again. And right now, 0% financing for up to 60 months. And believe it or not, for a two-door car, there is a lot of room in the back seat. I was very surprised. I expected very little room in the back seat. It actually has more room back there than most four-door vehicles. So check out the 2014 Kia Forte Coupe at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and ask them about the 0% financing for 60 months and not have to worry about anything going wrong with it for 60,000 miles, thanks to the bumper warranty as well.
And again, for any of you who want to test drive it, I would ask ahead of time if it was disinfected.
I'm sure they will take care of that.
Right now, you're a disaster.
I am not communicable, all right? Let's get that out of the way.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. And I'm most definitely not communicable with you via radio waves. I can guarantee you that.
Well, that I know. No, I made sure I was in a different state. I'm about as close to the central time zone as I can be.
You're in a different state, all right.
Always have been, my man. Always have been. Now, let's get to, before we get back to Deflategate.
Can we call it something else? Does it have to be a gate, really?
Sure, we can call it tailgate if you want. No, just kidding. look, let's get to something that is in your wheelhouse and you're very passionate about.
Okay.
And we can listen to you now whine about it for 20 minutes here. You seem to feel that there is a love affair in the world with hosting the Olympics.
No, I wouldn't say that.
And that
I would not say that. I think there's an interest in it.
And that everybody wants to host it. I think that is true. I think initially everybody wants to host it until they do. And then they go, we aren't doing that again. And the big part is the money. I mean, the money is a big part of it. I say one of two compromises. Either build an Olympic deal.
And you mean by that, you mean to build an Olympic.
In a single location.
Yeah, in a single location where it is every year.
In a single location where it is every 4 years. And that's your place you go. Or as a compromise, one on each of the six continents. I think we'll leave Antarctica out of it.
Well, you can have the Winter Games there, but I don't think you're going to see much spectator interest.
I understand. Okay, that would be the compromise if you wanted to move it around. And you move it around in four-year increments. And it takes a while to get back to your area. What are your thoughts on that because the world does not have money to burn on infrastructure for a 17-day track meet that's not going to have any permanence to it. This will have no permanence to it whatsoever. And also the infrastructure needed to make it happen and the security.
I think you're in the right circle there. I think you have the right idea. But my thought is having it go back to those locations, not every single year or every 4 years. I think it needs to rotate from maybe, let's say, max 10 locations. And that might even be too much. But let's say you have a maximum of 10 cities that want to host this and want to spend the money to build the infrastructure and host this every X amount of years. That way, you're not going to the same place every 4 years. Because originally, when you talked about this last week, I thought Athens for the Summer Games, oh, that's going to be fun the first 15 times. I mean, there's a reason they took it out of Athens in the first place and hopped it around so that everybody could get to it a little easier. And I think that that's part of what you need to do. I think you need to have different host cities, but maybe not one every 20 years or even 25 years the way they do it now. For instance, Lake Placid hosted two Olympics that were 40 years apart. Los Angeles hosted, was it two or three?
Los Angeles has had two.
Okay, and they were what, 50 years apart?
1932 and 1984. He's adding now.
No, I was in the ballpark there, so I'm good. But okay. I think you need to make it an every 10-year thing, and then it maybe 12 years. I don't know. I didn't give it that much thought. But you rotate it through maybe 5-6 different cities, at the most 10, on different continents, with the exception of Antarctica. I think we could both agree that that would not be a great spot for the summer or winter games.
Right. Well, if they put it to a vote, I don't think it's going to get there.
In Boston, you mean?
Yep.
So you're saying they want to now make this a vote for the city of Boston on whether the residents of Boston, the taxpayers, want it to be there.
Right. Okay. Now, in 1970, Denver was given the 1976 Winter Olympics. They beat out Geneva. They beat out Finland. They beat out Canada. All right? They were going to put events in Steamboat, Vail, Denver. Okay? They're going to put a new resort in Beaver Creek as the, you know, for alpine downhill racing and so forth. Well, they decided to put it on a state ballot to provide tax dollars to fund the cost of hosting the Olympics. And it didn't just lose, it lost big. 59% to 41%. This is 1976. Now, Innsbruck stepped in, and they took the Olympic Games, but they had only been 12 years removed from hosting it, so they didn't have to do as much. Now, Denver supposedly wants to put an Olympic bid in for 2026, you know. They want to give it another shot. But they're the only ones that have rejected the Olympic Games. And they did so, 59% voted it down. Interesting, isn't it? And I think if they put it to a vote in Boston, I'm not so sure it makes it. You have massive traffic problems in Boston now. On 128, 495, 95, 93, through the Big Dig area, which is now complete. From Logan with the Callahan tunnels, the Ted Williams tunnel, things like that. I mean, you got massive traffic problems now. Route 3. You don't have the facilities to do this. Where's the velodrome? Where's the Olympic Stadium? Now, I realize we're talking, it's 10 years away.
Well, now, the Olympic Stadium was already decided. That was going to be Gillette Stadium.
That's to do the ceremonies. Where's the track?
Oh, you're saying not the track and field venue. Okay.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, all right. I'm going to throw.
I mean, you can go to Foxborough all you want and go, okay, what are you going to do? Put down a 100 meter track? Hey, what else can we do here? Not too much.
There are tons of universities out there that that have track teams. I mean, is it going to be the grand facility that they have in Beijing?
Yeah,
no.
It's going to have to be 60,000 to 80,000 seats. Okay, you can't just go over to Emerson College and go, "Hey, can we use your track? Hey, fabulous! We'll use your track."
Well, let's go to a high school.
Let's go over to BU. Great, we'll use old Nickerson Field where the Braves used to play. Yeah, let's go there. Ever been driven by that place? Not quite cable ready yet. Okay. Not going to happen. You got to build all this stuff. Yeah, you have to build all of it. There are very few things that are in place right now to do it. You can go, for example, basketball, no problem. You go to the Garden. You play basketball at the Garden, so you got the men's and women's tournament taken care of. Where do you put the wrestling? Do you put it in a Gannis Arena, which is not really that big? Do you put it at, maybe you put it at Conti Forum, but Conti Forum seats 8,000. Okay, maybe you get 9,000 in for that. So maybe you can get away with doing that. The marathon thing, you start in Hopkinton, you end at Copley Square. Okay, that's cool. She took care of those two events. But other things you're going to need venues for. You're going to have to build a BMX bike area. You're going to have to build a velodrome. You have to build all these things. You have to build an Olympic stadium. Now, I know the plan is to convert that into a soccer stadium for the New England Revolution, so I understand that would have at least some long standing to it. Golf's easy. Just go over to the country club and play over there in Brookline, which is one of the great golf courses in the world. That's where Francis Ouimet won his legendary match against Harry Vardon back in 1913 to win the U.S. Open. So, there's certain things that you have in place, but there are a lot of things you don't, and it's expensive. It is expensive. I mean, where do you, rowing, I guess you go in the Charles River, but
That would be an outstanding venue, by the way. If there's one venue that Boston has that no one else could compete, it would be that river for the rowing.
But if I'm a taxpayer, I don't want it. They'd have to convince me that I wouldn't have to pay more in taxes.
All right, but in an era where every stadium has a sponsor name, that couldn't be done. Nobody would be interested on a worldwide level of sponsoring that stadium.
I repeat one more time: if you can convince the voters their taxes won't be raised, and you can convince the businesses that, oh, by the way, it's okay to close for 2.5 weeks. Okay.
Steve, I have Cindy on the line from Shamokin Dam, wants to chime in on our Olympic discussion.
Hi, Cindy. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you? And we're all glad that Kevin's better, right?
Oh yeah, I suppose we could. We could take a take a vote on that.
No, yes, we are happy. But what I wanted to say was, having the Olympics is a loser. It's crushing economic debt, and Although the politicians like to make up a whole lot of nonsense about puts your city in the news and all this stuff, a good example would be what happened in Montreal. I'm reading this off of the website CNN Money, pretty non-biased reporting. It cost them back in the 70s, the 1976 games. They ended up, the taxpayers got stuck with a $1.5 billion debt that it took them three decades to erase, right, paying off that debt for having that. And the people, they never used the Olympic Stadium, and it became the Big O, as in Big O-W-E. So, there's no winning on this. It was a disaster for Greece. That I think I read an article somewhere that of the last 40 years, one Olympics paid for itself. You know, the people over there in England complained because the merchants weren't seeing the revenue that had been promised to them, even though they'd
right.
made huge investments. And what's different
right.
today than the ones that I'm mentioning here is the level of security that would be necessary and the
That's
willingness
right.
of the host country to open itself to unfettered immigration without any say about those people coming into the country. And, you know, I just think it's, I think the Olympics is growing outside of the capacity of countries to host it economically and
I agree.
In a security issue, to provide security, even for just the athletes, never mind the, you know, mm-hmm. people they hope will come and watch it.
Cindy, I agree with every point you made. The only thing that maybe we can go back and forth with a little bit on is about being happy Kevin's back. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I'm tired of you picking on the Kevin. I'm tired of it, Steve. I'm going to get a whistle, and when you pick on him, I'm going to call in and blow the whistle. Speaking of which,
Cindy,
don't you think
Cindy,
that this team that provided these deflated balls should lose? I think it was 11 deflated balls, right? Underinflated
yeah.
balls. Well, they ought to lose
yes.
11 years' worth of wins. That's what I think. They should be stripped of all their wins for the last 11 years because clearly there's some number association and that every little foible in life deserves the greatest overreaction we can muster.
I think I know exactly where she's going here. That was well done, by the way. Well
Thank
done.
You. Thank you.
I think what they should get, though, in the end, is I think they'll have draft choices and maybe multiple years worth of draft choices taken away from them. So affect the future of the franchise in that regard.
Well, maybe like the Scarlet Letter, they could all be made to wear a deflated ball on their uniforms in shame, you know, and that will appease the Twitter people and the, you know, because
sure.
clearly this is the kind of thing we should all really get bent out of shape about and obsess about for months, maybe, I know, at least 3 years, and frankly, their children should be punished and their children's children because... You know, you can never undo any misstep in a sports program, ever. It hangs over you, you know, like a pall.
Cindy, I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get a fund so you can have your tongue surgically removed from your cheek.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Cindy.
Dan from Nashua checking in with us, Steve.
Dan from Nashua. And how's everything going, Dan in Nashua?
Everything's well. I thought I'd chime in on your Olympic discussion since I've heard a lot about it on the local radio up in New England. And everyone
yeah.
up here hates it, the idea of the Olympics coming to Boston. What you were talking about, if they put it to a vote, that it would have that you thought it might struggle to pass. I think there's no chance it would pass if they left it up to the people because everybody thinks it would be a terrible idea. And you were talking about the traffic issue. My wife has to go towards Boston every single day. I think you've met her. And she already has to sit in traffic for an hour and a half just getting to just outside the city, and that's on a regular day. If you bring Olympic traffic in and around the city, it would be a disaster. And I think the only way that they would get it to pass is there's been discussion about trying to bring New York and other areas into the discussion so that they don't have to build as many facilities and they can kind of disperse it throughout Boston and New York and some other places. I think that's the only chance that they would get to the people to believe that it would be a good idea because it would be a disaster.
See, Dan, that's why I thought Washington, D.C. made the most sense because you have D.C., you have Baltimore, Philadelphia is not that far away, so you could kind of share the expense and share the facilities a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a much better idea with having three cities kind of triangulated with a bunch of different facilities spread throughout. I mean, Boston would have trouble just handling people coming into the city just to try to stay for those 2 weeks. And I think it'd be a much better idea with what you're talking about, D.C. Baltimore. I mean, I would love it because I want to go. I want to go see some stupid archery or something. But
and I'm, see, I proves so... I'm not the only one, Stephen. I told you.
I mean, that's why the only reason I would want to go to it because I'm probably not going afford to travel unless they bring it to basically bring it to my backyard in Hudson, New Hampshire. I'm probably not making it to an event, but I would definitely go to the archery down the street. So
yeah. I have a better solution. I have a better solution. Let Rome get the bid and let it be their problem.
Sure. So that's what I'm saying. It would be a disaster in Boston.
Dan, thanks. Appreciate it.
One more on the line for you, Dick from Milton checking in.
Dick, how are you today?
Right. Three quick points, Steve. First of all, in 1896, they refurbished a stadium that was built in 329 BC in Athens to play the Olympics. Okay, that was my first point. So that was a pretty old stadium. Anyhow, the second point was on the football. The other thing I was going to tell you about the Olympics, if it comes, like Cindy said, down to money, there would be a lot of sports that wouldn't take place, especially at the college level, if it's just based solely on the amount of money made. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, and my other point was on the football. I heard a more reasoned approach today about the underinflated balls. First of all, to pick that game out there, they're not sure how many other professional football teams might use underinflated footballs in any given game.
I'm sure they don't. But what's interesting about this one is why weren't the Colts ones underinflated?
I don't want to tell you that. I don't know. I just heard a football player that was on one of the talk shows today who said about, you know, just to single the Colts out, and obviously they had underinflated footballs. But it's hard to tell on any given Sunday how many quarterbacks like an underinflated football, and they underinflate them because they use their own footballs. I guess that's the thing.
Each team uses their own, just like in college, Penn State brings their footballs with them on the road. Opposing teams go to Beaver Stadium, they bring their footballs into Beaver Stadium as well.
And my last point was from yesterday about the basketball game, the girls' game in California with the 120 or whatever to 4-3 or whatever the score was. So I did some research online and saw where a lot of states, especially in the Midwest, have a running clock just like in high school football, and they only stop the clock for very very few things, an injury, and a timeout, an actual timeout, but it runs continuously.
And the PIAA does have that, by the way.
So I'm saying I'm not sure why they wouldn't do that out of the school like that. For like some places it's a 35 point spread, some places it's a 40. I just looked it up yesterday and looked while you were talking about it.
Actually, Dick, California is one of seven states in high school basketball that does use a shot clock. So they actually have a shot clock. But they also see the issue that we have with what he did is that he pressed the entire first half to build up a 104-1 lead. Back off at some point.
Well, he must have not missed many shots. I'd hate to see their shooting percentage. I hope Penn State shoots that well tonight. Anyhow, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll need a novena for that. All right. All right, appreciate all the calls. It didn't turn out well for you.
That's all right. I just found a partner to go watch archery with in D.C. I'm happy.
Well, you know why he said that?
I have an idea.
There's a girl down the street from us that finished eighth in the Sydney Olympics. And every day we went past her house, and she had a target in the backyard. There was also a face on that target. Looked like mine. No, I'm just kidding. It's like that old Rodney Dangerfield joke.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hope everyone's safe out there today with the snow falling across the areas. Watch out for slick spots. It was a crushing half hour for Kevin. Cindy's now blowing a whistle.
Yes, the whistle has been blown. I was not crushing by any means. I don't know where I wasn't crushed.
Nobody wants it.
No. I think we've decided.
Is it fun for us to watch? Yes, but let it be some other city's problem. Let some other country be stupid and take it.
I think that we decided the smartest way to handle this would be to split it up into like a Metroplex area and to do it that way.
No. Let some other country take it.
Were you listening to a different half hour than I was?
Nobody wants it.
No, you don't want it.
I don't want it for logical reasons. I don't want, in a time when, for example, the tax dollar is stretched more and more and more across the board. There are more people in this country than ever. I think we're up to 335 million people. We also have, obviously, a population that has increased coming across the border, which increases the population of the country. We have more social welfare programs than ever before. The budget is stretched to greater limits, to the point where they're trying to come up with more and different ways to come up with more revenue to pay for things, whether it's at a state level, a local level, or a federal level. You have to be smart about what you do now. And part of being smart about what you do at this point is to look at something and say, is this going to financially set us back as a community for 10, 15, 20 years? Just because we're going to get some temporary glory out of it? Because once you're done with the Olympic Games, you become a footnote and you're finished. It's not like as if everybody fondly looks back. Hey, remember Squaw Valley? A lot of people weren't alive when Squaw Valley took place.
Well, I think
there are a lot of people in the audience right now weren't alive, for example, when Lake Placid took place, and that was 1980.
I think the IOC
Miracle on Ice.
I think the IOC could change some of that if they actually shared a little bit of the wealth that they're spending or that they're getting from the Olympic Games with the host city to help overcome the cost.
Kevin,
if that were to happen, then I can understand the argument of the traffic and everything involved that way.
Just have one spot or have each continent have a spot and maintain them. Right? Maintain them. Be smart about it. You talked about the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's a moot point. Glendale has that stadium. Guess what's going to happen to the Glendale Stadium when the game's over with? When the game's over with on February 1st, they're probably going to have a boat show in there, probably a car show in there. Then when the next season rolls around, the Arizona Cardinals are going to play there, and the Arizona Cardinals are going to play there the year after and the year after that and so forth. The stadium is in constant use beyond just one Super Bowl game being played. The stadium was not built to host just the Super Bowl. They'll have the Fiesta Bowl there next year and everything else that goes with it as they try to fully book it. They'll have concerts in there and so forth. They'll be fully used. An Olympic stadium, take for example Atlanta. Atlanta did a great job of taking their Olympic stadium and turning it into Turner Field where the Braves have played for years. Now the Braves are going to move out now. They're going to go up to Cobb County and move to the suburbs, I think beginning in 2017. But they did a great job with that, where they converted it into something that was usable and tangible on an everyday basis. Not everybody does that. You got to sit back and look around and say to yourself, we can't do this. You just can't throw money down the empty hole and say, hey, it's great, we got the Olympics. Russia did that, but that's what Russia has done all the time, and that's why they're in a financial world of hurt right now, especially with oil, which is a primary profit number in Russia, has gone from $110 a barrel down to $40-plus dollars a barrel, and it's crushing their economy. And they don't care about throwing money into Sochi because they want to put on a world show. That's fine. But I'm not into putting on a world show. The United States has enough great sports, with one of them coming up on February 1st, the Super Bowl, which will get more viewers than anything else. I mean, we'll all watch the Olympics. I'll watch it all the time. But let it be somebody else's financial headache. We don't need the headache here.
You are aware, though.
We have other concerns.
You are aware, though, that velodromes are used all through the season because there is, like, a World Cup of track cycling, too. It's not like it's going to be used 4 years and then never used again.
Nobody cares.
Well, they do if you're bringing in hundreds of people from, or hundreds of thousands of people from around the world for a World Cup event.
Once a year?
Maybe more than once a year. I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I have to look and see when the events are.
Kevin, okay? I'm trying to figure out what's more exciting, a 17-day track meet or taking hundreds of millions of dollars, putting it in the 50-yard line at Gillette Stadium and burning it. What would draw more fans?
You're looking at it from one country's viewpoint, though.
No, I'm looking at it from everybody in the Valley's viewpoint. For example, because everybody is taxed to the brim right now.
So we should never host the World Cup of Soccer.
Well, that's a different ballgame. It's spread all over the country in different stadiums across the country. And it does not cost you anything to have it. You already have existing structures in place. And you're not playing the entire World Cup in one spot, as opposed to playing an entire Olympiad basically in one spot, tying up all the traffic, being responsible for building all the added facilities that you needed, being responsible for building an Olympic Village that God knows you're going to do with when you're done with it, and things like that. I mean, it's a different ball game. It's a different ball game. The difference is it's something you love, and I don't blame you for wanting to see it in your own backyard. And I don't blame you for wanting to see it in your own backyard, but there are consequences to it. And the consequences are huge. That's why I've always said, when it came, for example, to NFL stadiums, I'm a strong believer that the owner should put in a third, the state should put in a third, the NFL should put in a third, because all three benefit from having it, and it should not just be thrust upon the taxpayers to do it. For example, the Minnesota Stadium, they're building a dome stadium, $975 million. Now, the Patriots are a different ballgame. Robert Kraft built that with his own money. Okay, he built that with his own money. He only asked for $72 million in infrastructure from the legislature of Massachusetts, which after a prolonged fight of 2 years, he finally got. So Route 1 and 95 could actually be palatable for people to drive in and out of before and after games and concerts and so forth. And believe me, I was on 95 this summer, going by Gillette Stadium when, I'm trying to think who was at Gillette playing. It was a country act. And the line of traffic, Kevin, this is on 95 at Route 1. You know, you still got to go another mile on Route 1 before you get to Gillette. Was all the way back 3 miles on 95. And this is with new infrastructure. Okay? You know, there's lines in the sand that you got to draw on this stuff. You talk about the World Cup for, you know, I mentioned Minnesota. Minnesota's doing it with a bond issue and a hotel tax and things like that. Okay. So, in other words, a team like Penn State goes in, they're actually paying more money to go stay in the hotel because they build a stadium that, by the way, Penn State's never going to play in.
I honestly think this is going to be a moot point anyway, because I think Rome is the city that's going to get the bid from the IOC in the first place.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
I said I think all the discussion is going to be a moot point because I believe that Rome is going to get the bid anyway from the IOC.
And believe me, there will be a lot of people right now at the Basilica in Boston lighting candles for that to happen.
But I really believe that instead of Boston, and I said this before, I think D.C. makes a lot more sense because you could spread the event over three or more cities.
Kevin, have you ever been down to D.C. on a normal day?
Yes, I have.
And how much traffic did you sit in on a normal day?
I don't know. I use the Metro.
You still had to go in the loop, didn't you?
No, I actually use, when I go into the city and I know I'm not driving into the city to a hotel, I'll stop in Gaithersburg outside the loop and ride the Metro in.
Okay.
So I can't really say for sure. And that's not a cop-out. That's the God's honest truth. That's what I do. Because I do know there is a lot of traffic on the beltways.
Okay. When Penn State played Indiana at FedEx, which is in Landover, Maryland, and we stayed at the Gaylord Hotel at the Landing, I remember I had to do a game on Big Ten Network Friday night, and a donor offered me a plane to fly me instead of me having to drive late at night, which was Dick DeFleury was the one that did this. He said, I'm going to send my plane up, and I'm going to fly you down. Ron Moeller picked us up at Dulles. We flew from University Park to Dulles. Now, I got there. You know, the flight lasted 26 minutes. And I got Jeff Tarman to go with me. And I said, look, I'm not going unless you let Jeff go. You know, so you try to make sure you take care of as many people as possible. He said, okay, great. Yeah, Jeff can go too. So the two of us get in there. 26 minutes. Ron picked us up, Moeller, at the airport. It took us 1 hour and 40 minutes to go from Dulles at 11 o'clock at night to Gaylord Landing. Now, admittedly, Ron made a wrong turn. We did go past Andrews Air Force Base. I thought, this isn't right.
I don't remember seeing this in the brochure.
No, that's why I said, turn around. He goes, what do you mean turn? I said, turn around, go back to 104, make a right on 104, make a left on 495, go down three exits, we're there. He goes, okay. He goes, how do you know this? We have to just do what I say. Well, I know it frustrates you when I do the same thing. Just do it.
As I said before, it's like having a walking encyclopedia with you. And in his case, it would be like having your own personal GPS.
That's what he said. He says, I've got this thing. He says, I'll just listen to you. I said, go to 104, make a right, get on 95, 495, go down. I said, three exits, we're there. I said, he goes, okay. But see, that was at night. It's a mess. To quote Charles Krauthammer, winners and losers of the week. Loser, Boston. You got the Olympic bid. Winner, D.C. Didn't. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thanks for all the calls today at 800-795-9565. And except for being scolded by Cindy because I am supposed to treat you like the gold that you are.
And she's right.
You know, when your relatives call, I get a little... No.
Are you kidding? If my relatives called, they'd be on your side.
That is a sad commentary. You do know that, don't you? All right. So we've run the gambit today from nobody wants the Olympics except for one person.
Well, you need to change that. I want the Olympic. I understand the dollar figure side of it. I get that. I want the Olympics in a place where I don't need a passport to see it.
Then move to Korea.
That also is an option, I guess.
They got the Winter Games in 2018, my man.
And I'm not sure I want to go see the Winter Games. It just doesn't seem to be my time of year.
Oh, come on. Now we're picky about what we want. Yeah, okay, very quickly.
I want what I want.
Say the Olympics were in Boston.
Okay, the Olympics were in Boston, yes.
Say it happens. Give me, in order, the three events you would see first.
Winter or summer? Well, it makes a difference.
I just said, if the Olympic Games in 2024 are in Boston, which means it's the summer.
So it's the summer. All right. Well, I was just checking to make sure you meant Summer Olympic. The events I would want to see in order, I would definitely want to see track and field. That would be the first choice. Let's see. I'd want to see some of the cycling in the velodrome. And with it being in Boston, I would definitely want to see the sculling on the Charles.
Okay. All right. And in the Winter Games, if I were to send you to Korea,
I bet you can guess one. I bet you could guess two of the three.
Biathlon would be one.
No, it would not be biathlon.
I thought you loved biathlon.
No, I just have a pair of unused tickets from the Salt Lake City biathlon in my collection.
Okay, probably got a luge.
Luge, skeleton, and bobsled, and they're all the same venue, so I think they're one, two, and three. So that would be the first one, yeah, because they're all in the same venue.
Yeah, I just want to warn you, though, that if you go, it's not like what NBC does, where you see seven really good ones.
I'm aware. Can you guess the second one?
You have to sit through the other 93 pieces of junk.
That's why I don't want to go to the opening or closing ceremonies, because I want to be able to hit fast forward on my DVR.
There you go.
What would be the other two?
What are the other two? I don't know.
The second one would be curling.
Oh, curling.
I can't believe you didn't get that one.
Yeah.
And the last one.
Ice dancing?
No, I would skip all of those.
Rhythmic gymnastics on ice?
No, I don't want to see that either. It would have to be ski jumping.
Ski jumping.
Yes.
Now remember, Eddie the Eagle only makes it because he's that bad. And there are others who are in that category.
But admit it, none of us would have ever watched ski jumping if it weren't for Wide World of Sports. And I don't mean the opening segment, because that was the only place that I'd ever seen ski jumping. And I thought, this is awesome. I would never want to do it, but it is so awesome. So when we play the Winter Olympics on the video game system, ski jumping is one of the first events on the list.
You play the Olympics on video games?
Oh, it's great. Are you kidding? It's the only way I'll ever get into an Olympic game. Ever.
What? You're saying it's my fault now? Because I'm leading this charge in this campaign to crush it like a grape.
No. That's the only way I'd be able to participate is through a video game.
I see.
And I've gotten really good at javelin against worldwide competition thanks to...
You with a real javelin actually is considered to be illegal.
But I held the world record for a few moments in javelin, but it didn't last long before somebody across the world broke it.
You have to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding. I finished second that day after I broke the world record for about three players. It was somebody in England that beat me. I don't remember his name.
Well, I think we should search out this individual, and I think we should take Cindy with us and destroy this individual.
So there I am, sitting on the second step of the podium, watching the United States flag, and listening to a song that doesn't have the same lyrics as the one I was singing.
No, they actually have, like, the music on there.
Oh, yeah.
And you got a silver medal?
I did get the silver that day.
And you were disappointed, weren't you, because you didn't win.
Listen, there's a difference between the video game silver medal and the silver medal that would hang in my collection. All right, the video game silver medal, very disappointing. Silver medal you could actually touch, not disappointing to me.
We could get Dan, Cindy, Dick, myself, Sean, Drew, Allie, and we could have a dinner for you, and we could present one with you on your silver medal for the video game that would be suitable for framing.
There's one problem. It wouldn't be a dinner. It would be more like a roast.
Oh, it wouldn't be like a roast. I mean, you act like we're cruel people. We're not cruel. We just talk about what we see.
Really good at the Winter Olympic bobsled, too.
Oh, I'll bet you are. I can't believe we're talking about this. I'm on the air on 60 stations here in an hour and a half, and I'm talking about you winning a video game silver medal.
I guarantee this is a conversation you and Girardi have never had, okay?
I can guarantee you that Girardi and I have talked about things that are serious.
Yo, man, what are you talking about?
Dick, what do you think about the Olympics being here? He said, yo, get it out of here. And that'd be an exact quote. Yo, get it out of here. Oh, they had a Philadelphia should have gotten the bid. They had a booed. They'd have been mad. Get this thing out of here. Oh my goodness. Oh. All right. Tomorrow, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on the show.
Are you going to ask him about the Olympics?
I don't know if I will or not. I don't know if I will or not.
We spent 45 minutes talking about it. You're not going to ask the guy who's in charge of all the money in the world?
I suppose I could talk to him about what a financial disaster it would be for the area.
Yeah, that would be great. It shouldn't be slanted at all.
Kevin! Go through tonight and Google money and the Olympics.
Oh, listen, I know there's a lot of European cities that wanted this, and the tax base voted it down because they didn't want to spend the money. I totally understand
exactly.
That.
I think those cities said there's one. I think the one was I think, Los Angeles with Peter Uberoth. And I know Salt Lake City came close because Mitt Romney saved that because they were in deep trouble in 2002. This show was in the deep trouble, just moderate. We'll talk to you tomorrow.